We're up to the Rashi's in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Dalet. Yesterday we started the sukkim, we went through them very carefully with the mitzubos. Now let's review with Rashi. Okay, I'll read the sukkim again very quickly. Pasuk Dalet, Koyam Hashem Elokei, so says Hashem my God, Re'ei Asatzon Harega, Hashem is giving instructions to Zechariah, you shall do a demonstration. I want you to select sheep that have no purpose, sheep that are too old to produce vlodais, sheep that do not produce wool, and therefore the only thing that's left to do with these sheep is to...
Thanks, sweetie.
The only thing left to do with these sheep is to slaughter them. So this is a term for sheep that are dysfunctional. And here we're calling Klal Yisrael the Tzoy Naharega because they're no longer being productive. Asher koneim yahargun v'lo yeshamu, because the owner of these sheep, what are they planning to do with these sheep? They're planning to dispose of them, and no one will blame them. These sheep are a liability, and now when the owner of the sheep has the good fortune where somebody is willing to pay good money to take these sheep off his hands, he's thrilled. Umaychrehen yoimar, those who sell these sheep, they say, Baruch Hashem, wow, look at that, my lucky day, Vashir, I'm now going to get rid of this liability, I'm going to convert this into cash, and with the money I'm going to invest in something that I will make profit from. V'royehem lo yachmal alehen, and the shepherds, I have no rachmanis upon them because they're not worth it, there's no value to these sheep. Kilo, and here, that is the end of the metaphor. And now Hashem says to Yechezkel, what's the message? What is the meaning of this pasuk? Ki loy echmol oid al yoshe aretz nim Hashem. I will no longer show compassion upon Klal Yisrael. V'hine anochi mamtzias adam ish b'yad re'eyu u'v'yad malkoi u'v'chitesu es aretz lo yatzil mi adam. And this very frightening pasuk Hashem says, he's going to remove his divine providence. He's going to allow the Jewish people to implode. Forget about what's going to happen to them from the outside world. This we discussed yesterday at great length. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to allow the Jewish people to implode from within. They'll do themselves in. I will remove my Hashkocha Pratis, and each fellow will devour his fellow man. Each group will fight with one another. And being that we have discussed that this section deals with the Churban Bayis Sheni, that's exactly what happened in the time of Churban Bayis Sheni, where there was infighting at the very end. The Klal Yisrael was divided into three groups, and they destroyed one another. Pasuk Zayin v'Eres Hayin HaHarega, and now Zechariah says, I obeyed the command of Hashem. I selected the Tzoyin HaHarega. I took him out the pasture, but he obeyed but disobeyed. It's interesting. It seems like here, to a degree, if you want to darshan a little bit, is that Zechariah, he disobeyed Hashem. Hashem told him, take him out, go shepherd. Well, I shouldn't say he disobeyed, but Hashem told him, go shepherd the sheep out of Egg. It's all he told him to do. But think back, he didn't disobey. Hashem just told him, go take hold, be a shepherd for these sheep. And Zechariah, indeed, he obeyed Hashem's command. He acquired the Tzoyin HaRega, and he acquired for himself two different staffs. One staff he called Noyam, and one he called Chavlin, to indicate that although these sheep, their destiny is to be sent to the slaughter, but in the meantime, I will shepherd them, and sometimes I will be gentle. I'll use the staff called Noyam, and sometimes I'll use the staff called Chavlin. And the Mitzvah Stavre told us that since this is all talking about the Bayis Sheni, and towards the end of the Bayis Sheni, there were good times and there were bad times. The good times were the times of the Chashmonayim, the times of the Chanukah miracle. That was an era where Hashem was shepherding the Tzoy Naharega with a staff called Noyam. It's not for nothing that in Chanukah, see, this gives a whole new insight. You have a whole new drush. That's why on Chanukah, many people have the custom to say, what do you say when you light the Chanukah menorah? V'hi noyam Hashem Elokeinu Oleinu Masa Yodeinu Koinu Oleinu Masa Yodeinu Koroneinu. Why? Why do you say that pasuk? Okay, it's printed a lot of the notes. They have all these nice little sidurim, they give out at Simchas Baruch Hashem, these Chanukah books, and the cards, and the Nuschais. Okay, that's not, you know, these are additions. You say the brachas, and you say Neiris Halalu, and you say Mosur, and then some people want to say Ranu Tzadikim Hashem, they say Mizmar Tilim, but one of the primary supplements to the lighting of the Chanukah candles is to say the pasuk that this week's parasha, when Moshe Rabbeinu, after he erected the Mishkan, Vayavarech Oysa Moshe said, V'hinoyam Hashem Elohim, Elin Amas Yedin Koneu, Elin Amas Yedin Koneu. Why? Well, according to what we have learned, we have a new pshat, and it really fits in very well. It's exactly what comes from the Mitzudas David. The Mitzudas David says that since this entire section is dealing with the era of the Bayis Sheni, and the Jewish people during this entire era of 420 years are being labeled Tzoin HaHarega, they don't stand a chance. This Tekufa, this era, 420 years of Jewish history, the destiny is going to be, there's going to be a Churban. The Bayis Sheni was never meant to last forever. It was just a temporary chizuk for Klal Yisrael to boost their morale, to get them through the next 1,951 years. Here we are today. We're now 1,951 years since the Churban Bayis Sheni. The era of the 420 years of the Bayis Sheni was in order to be mechazik, to lay for us a foundation, in order to survive these last 1,951 years. And during that era, there are going to be good times and bad times. And the good times are called Noam, and the bad times are called Choivlim. What are the good times? Along comes the Mitzudas David. The good times are Chanukah. Chanukah is called Noam. Is it then a question to us why the supplement to the lighting of the Chanukah candles is the pasuk Vehi Noam Hashem Elokeinu Leinu Maas Yedin Koneu? Is there even a question? Noam? That's what it says. I took over here two Noam. I called it Noam. Look in the Mitzudas David. In the Mitzudas David it says Noam. You have to go down to what we did yesterday. Go down to the first wide line on page 819 in the article edition in the Mitzudas David. Uval rames al hakoyhanim b'nei chashmonoi shemoshul b'bayis sheni shahayu b'shtei hanhagois mitchil l'moshul shloish b'nei matasyo ben yochan kohen gadol Yehuda v'yonason v'shimon maasem v'han hagoisam hoya b'noyam b'yiras Hashem. You see, this idea you're not going to find in the Likutim. This is incredible. This is really incredible. You learn Nach if you have a thorough grasp of Nach. Everything you learn, everything that happens is completely different. This is a very... You'll ask someone, why do you say V'hinoyam when you light the Chanukah candles? They'll give you a lot of Jewish interesting ideas. This answers it with the greatest simplicity possible. It answers it with a pasuk in Zechariah. Zechariah is describing the era of the Bayis Sheni. Bayis Sheni, Klal Yisrael were called the Tzoyin HaRega, were anyway going to be, were anyway doomed, the Bayis Sheni was anyway doomed. But in the meantime, Zechariah, who is the Navi of Chanukah, as we learn the Haftorah from Zechariah, he obeyed Hashem's command to shepherd us to as a dogma for this era. And he took two staffs, and one staff is called Noyam, and the other is called Choivlim, and Noam refers to the era of the Chanukah miracle. Yochanan Yehuda, the three children of Yochanan and Kohen Gadol, the Shloshim Nei Matasyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Yehuda, Yonasan, Veshimayin, and Vehi Noyam. Is it then even a question as to why we say the Pasuk Vehi Noyam? Is a whole new flavor. It's amazing, you learn Nach. Your eyes are opened up to have an entirely different appreciation of our minhagim, our liturgy, our halacha. Even it all really comes to life in a very unique way. Mark, you agree? You agree? It's mamish v'hi noam. Mamish says it over here. It says mamish. There's not no chiddush. It's like mamish explicit. You just have to learn the pesukim. All right, so that's the pesukim we learned yesterday. Now let's go back and learn the Rashi. Rashi, what does Rashi over here say? Rashi, back Rashi Pasuk Dalid on page 816. Re'e esoin ha'arega. Okay, we can't assume that the Rashi is going to agree with everything that we learned in the Mitzvah Stavid. Let's see one thing at a time. Re'e, I want you to shabbat on haregam. Hochein lohem royim kolaymar hinovei al parnosehem hoasidim lir'oisom me'ata. Now, it would seem that Rashi, off the bat, is coming to disagree with the Mitzudas. Because the Mitzudas, it would appear, maybe I'm wrong, that Zechariah is actually going to the market and is purchasing grade F or grade D, whatever grade you want to call it, sheep, poor quality sheep, and is taking them out to pasture as a dogma. People are going to observe his bizarre behavior, and they're going to ask, what is he doing? And they're going to write articles, and they're going to post blogs, and there'll be comments, and the media will be talking, what is Zechariah doing? What's going on here? And they're going to bring on all of the Sunday morning political commentators, and they're all going to darshan, and in the process, it's exactly what Hashem wants. Hashem is playing the people. He wants Zechariah to engage in this activity in order for the message to get out that you, Klal Yisrael, you are the Tzoyin HaRega, and if you don't shape up, this is what's going to happen. And that's how the Mitzvah Stavid appears to have learned this Pesukim, where Zechariah is actually going out and engaging in this activity. Rashi, it doesn't seem to be the case. Rashi seems off the bat to say that this is nothing more than a prophecy. These are words. He is standing at the podium and he is delivering a prophecy. Hochein lohem royim, Yirik, prepare for them shepherds. Kloimar. Whenever Rashi says the word kloimar in Shas, it always means, I'm going to tell you something now that is not literal. There is no way in the world you'll be able to translate the words literally to see what I'm saying. You have to trust me. You have to trust in the Masoira. This is what the Pasuk really means to say, and that's going to demand from you to add words or add sentences into the Pasuk and to understand the words in a non-literal way. I want you to give prophecy regarding the leaders of the Jewish people. Tsoin haharega, Yisrael, sheharogum royehem va'acholum. Something very different than the Mitzudas. The sheep who have been abused, been murdered by their leaders, corrupt leaders, leaders who have literally killed them, murdered them, and eaten them up.
Which time frame are we talking about when the leaders were so bad to the people?
So the simple understanding is the Bayis Sheni. That's the simple, let's read further, we'll see more. But the simple understanding according to Rashi is that this entire section is discussing the era of the Bayis Sheni. Let's see more. Let's see. The Pasuk, V'loy Yeshamu Malchi Agoyim Sha'agleim L'Soicham Ze Moicham Loze V'Hakoy Nehoreg V'Einoisin L'Libo Sheyehe Loy Ashma Badovar. Rashi again disagrees with the Mitzudas David that the ones that are not going to be guilty are going to be, we are describing over here, our tormentors of the Umay Soilam. Our king, in other words, our leaders will bring upon us harm to the degree where we will be exiled. And when we indeed go into exile, our tormentors, our foreign hosts will abuse us, will commit crimes against us, and there will be no accountability. There will be no punishment for their crimes. So again, v'lo yeshamu malchi hagoyim she'agleim l'saicham, the kings of the world to whom I will exile the Jewish people, ze moicham lo ze, one nation will sell the Jewish people to the another nation, v'akoy nehorig, and the person who purchases the nation that acquires us will murder us, horig, and he's not going to consider is there anything wrong. No one's going to hold him accountable. And the one that sells the Jewish people, Mishalel, will praise himself. Look, I got money. Baruch Hashem. Shem Yisaram Biyadi. The one that sells them will praise him, say, look, that Baruch Hashem, they were mine, so that I can make profit. I can sell them and convert them into a quick buck. Shem Yisaram Biyadi V'Hareini Ashir, and now I am rich. V'Ashir V'Ashir, he translates Rashi in the past tense, or in the present tense. V'Hareini Ashir, and now I am rich. By selling the Jewish people, I am rich. If you take a step back, the Mitzudas, the contrast, the Mitzudas David did not learn like this. He understood this to mean that all of these words over here are a description of Tzoyin HaHarega. There's a fundamental difference between Rashi and the Mitzudas David as to understand this pasuk, and it all hinges upon the translation of the words Tzoyin HaHarega. According to Rashi, the word haharega is describing a crime that has happened to the tzoyin. There is only one noun. The noun is tzoyin. There is no adjective. We're not describing what kind of tzoyin. Sheep are sheep. Who cares? There's a sheep, grade A, grade B, grade C. A sheep is a sheep. You're going to start telling me this sheep can produce wool. This sheep can no longer produce vladas, then that's not the pshat according to Rashi. Rashi says, sheep are sheep, don't confuse me with gender and race. No discrimination. I will not discriminate against a person who is qualified and educated and knowledgeable and knows how to do the job just because he's a white male. I'm not going to discriminate. Ramachol, correct? We're not going to discriminate against the sheep just because it's qualified to produce wool.
I hadn't realized they were white sheep. Anyway,
just because they're white and they're male, I'm not going to discriminate against them just because they're qualified. And I'm not going to, if they get the job done, they're educated, they have experience, they're the right person for the job. I'm not going to discriminate just because they're white and male. So according to Rashi, there's no discrimination here. There is no discrimination. A sheep is a sheep. When it says the word haharega, it means a crime has been committed. This sheep was murdered. It was murdered in cold blood. And by extension, they were robbed, they were exiled, they were victimized. Who victimized them? I mean, their leaders. Their leaders are caused this to happen to them. And then the neck, because the word haharega is describing a crime, therefore, when the pasuk goes on and says in the next pasuk, hey, we're not describing the sheep. We are describing the people who continue the process of the crime. The leaders have sold them out, and now they are victims in the hands of foreign nations who continue to abuse them, victimize them, and Asher Koinehen, the people who buy the Jewish slaves, Yahargun, they kill them. If they don't like them, they just murder them. V'lo yashamu, there's no accountability. No one blinks, no one could care less if you kill a Jew. Umoichrehen, and a person who's able to sell a Jew and make a couple of bucks, he says, Baruch Hashem. He says, Yoimar, Baruch Hashem. Look at that, my good day. I was able to get a hold of one of these Jews and enslave them and sell them to someone else and make a nice profit. Vashir. And I'm now rich. V'royehem lo yachma lehem. And their shepherds couldn't care less about this. I'm assuming over here refers to, going back going to Rashi, going back to the previous pasuk, their leaders could not care less. Their leaders have done this to them, have brought about the churban of their own people, because the leaders are thoroughly corrupt. But that's not what the Mitzudas David said. The Mitzudas David understood the word haharega not as a crime that has been committed against the tzoyin, but instead it's an adjective. it is defining what type of tzon. There are tzon and there is tzon. There is white sheep, there is black. There are male, there are female. There is black, brown, yellow, all different varieties of race and gender, all different types of sheep. This sheep is the lowest of the low. We are describing a variety of sheep. And therefore, the Mitzudas Tov, it says, Pasuk Hey continues to describe the condition, the nature of this type of sheep. This type of sheep, which is called the Tzoyin HaHarega, it's grade C, grade F, whatever grade you want to give it, it's Asher Koinehen Yahargon. They don't have any use for it. They're looking to dispose and to liquidate this asset because it's a liability. V'lo Yashamu, no one in the marketplace, in the business school, when you make a, if you have a, they give you a case study, and they add, your professor asks, what do you do if you have a situation where you have this type of asset, and if you answer your professor, I liquidate it. He says, excellent. He's not going to blame you. He's not going to say that you're guilty. He's not going to give you an F for the course. He'll give you an A for the course. Exactly. When you have a liability, get rid of it. And if you're so fortunate to find someone who's willing to buy and get rid of it, they give you a couple of bucks, you'll say Baruch Hashem. Okay, so there's a fundamental difference between Rashi and the Mitzudas Tov as to the meaning of the word Yahareigun. Does the word Yahareigun mean? Is it a word which means that a crime was committed? Or is it an adjective describing the nature of the tzayin, and that difference in word will force us to understand the next pasuk very differently according to each of the respective opinions? Let's go to the next Rashi, pasuk Zayin, and then Zechariah says, "I obeyed. I obeyed the command of Hashem."
By the way, there is in the Haggadah, "Ki achal et Yaakov v'tnavehu eshamu." Achal et Yaakov.
It's an expression which means crime, to consume. You consume us. It's a metaphor, but it really needs to be touching upon something very big. Why did the Baal Haggadah choose that term to describe that pasuk? It's a pasuk, but why did he choose from all the pasukim in the whole Tanakh? They ate us up. What is that? There are many ways to describe abuse, crime, murder, theft. There are many ways. It's a very unusual word. It's an unusual word. It has a certain connotation, and it needs clarity. It needs depth. On a very simple level, the reason why that word was chosen is because the only time of the year, the only mitzvah d'oraisa that we have to eat is Lel Pesach, Achilas Matzah, a Kezayis Matzah. Okay, you have Korbanos also, but let's say Bizman Hazeh, the only Achila de Oraisa is Matzah Lel Pesach. It's bizarre because Judaism is known in the secular world, it's a religion of food. Every holiday, there's this food, that food, all this. You have the latkes and the hamantaschen and donuts and dip the apple in the honey. And then you don't eat all different types of foods. Everything is about food and Rosh Hashanah Lilan, it's the boxer and the fruits and Shavuos, it's the cheesecake, all about food. But the truth is the only mitzvah d'oraisa to eat is to eat the most bland, boring piece of food in the world. Two ingredients, flour and water. You can even buy matzah today. Try to buy in the secular world, outside of a matzah baking factory, try to buy matzah. I just want to buy flour and water. It doesn't exist. You can't even, go out and try to buy bread that only has flour and water. Impossible. Every bakery, they add some salt, a little this, a little that. There's always some other additives, preservatives. There's always something else going on. Pure wheat and water doesn't exist. The only place you're going to find this is in a matzah factory. And that's the only mitzvah d'oraisa that Judaism demands flour and water, matzah, leil Pesach. So being the entire Seder is established for achila. It's not a surprise that when Chazal want to elaborate upon the crimes that have been committed against the Jewish people, they use the word of achila. Ki ochal es Yaakov. V'yesnaveyu heshamu. We eat it in our abode. Where does the Pesach Seder take place? In the bayis. There's a hakpod that the Pesach Seder shall be in the bayis. So the Pasuk also mentions that they have destroyed our Novehu, our abode, the bayis. Those words, they have much more richness and meaning at the Lel Seder, because we're engaging in an act of eating in the bayis with the family, the abode of and when we use those words, they ate us up and they destroyed our bayis, it evokes a much stronger emotion, Lel Seder, than otherwise. Now let's go further. The Rashi, Pasuk Zayin, Vo'ere Esayin Ha'arega, Kol Eile Divrei HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'Navi. All of these words are the words of Hashem. Va'ani Ro'isi Oysam Bayamim HaKad Moinim. What in the world does that mean? Did you ever see the Rashi like this? Now, first of all, what does that mean exactly? I really don't know what this means. Rashi over here says, I shepherd Esayin Ha'arega. Let's take a step back. Yesterday we learned that these are the words of Zechariah. The Mitzudos David says, Zechariah says, I have obeyed the command of Hashem. Hashem gave me instructions, go to the market, purchase sheep, low quality sheep, and pasture them. I did it. I went to the market, I purchased those type of sheep, and I pastured them. And this was a dugma. And this was a muscle for what's going to happen. People started noticing. They started talking. It hit the news. It went viral. Exactly what Hashem wanted. Rashi appears not to say that. Rashi appears to say, maybe I'm making a mistake, that when it says here, Vo'ere Esoy Naharega, Hashem is speaking. But that doesn't make any sense. Because in the beginning it says, he tells Rashi, in the beginning he tells in Pasuk Dalet, Re'e Esoy Naharega, Hochein Lohem Ro'im, Kiloimar, Hinove Al Parno Sehem Ho Asidim Liroisa Me'ata. I want you to prophesize regarding the leaders of the Jewish people. So what does it mean now? Vo'ere, I shepherd.
So are you saying, who else would we think is saying this?
I told you, the Mitzudos David says that these are the words of Zechariah.
No, I know, but even though they're the words of Chaya, the words of Zechariah, he's still only speaking the words of Hashem, right?
No. According to the Mitzudos David, what it means is that Zechariah himself, it's not the words of Hashem. It means Zechariah, these are not Hashem's words. This is Zechariah's record of, I listened. Hashem told me what to do. Hashem's finished speaking.
Okay. So, but from Rashi's perspective,
right?
Who else would be saying this?
If Zechariah, it's either Hashem is saying this or Zechariah is saying this. It's
Hashem
not.
Hashem is saying, no. Zechariah is saying whatever Hashem
says. Right,
right,
right, right. So it's not.
Why do you need to tell?
Why? Because, obviously, because since Rashi is aware that there are other commentators that disagree.
Really? He's reacting to other commentators?
Of course. Everything Rashi says is with the insight and the background of those who disagree. And he's coming to make a statement that this is the pshat. Don't be influenced by other commentators. I'm telling you the real pshat. Everything Rashi says is a reaction. It's not in a vacuum. And obviously the Mitzudos David is selecting a different one. The Mitzudos David is always a malakit. He doesn't tell us where he got his stuff from. Okay, it's not likely he's just saying things on his own. I'm sure he does here and there, but obviously the Mitzudos David is taking what he felt to be the simplest interpretation from the vast collection of Mefarshim that he had at his disposal, and he gives a similar translation for the Pasuk. And here in this instance, he selected not like Rashi. And he said that the one who is making this statement is Zechariah. Zechariah is now responding, I listened, I obeyed the command of Hashem. But Rashi is saying something over here, Kol Eile Divrei HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaNavi.
Everything.
Everything.
The whole story here.
So,
that's it. But now Hashem continues to talk.
Right, so Pasuk Zayin,
Hashem says,
Hashem, I am now pasturing. This is a continuation. Rashi needs to make this point to disagree with the Metzudas lived a lot later than Rashi, but with the opinions, which we just only learn one, which disagree and hold, that this Pasuk Zayin was said personally by Zechariah. And that has to mean that this, as we explained, is a mashal, is a dogma. Just like we find by other prophets, Hashem tells them to go do something in public in order to attract attention, and people will ask questions, and a conversation will begin, and the message will spread. That's what's happening here according to the Mitzvah David. Zechariah is being instructed to go to the market to purchase sheep and to great pasture them, and people are going to ask questions, and there'll be a conversation. And then the Zechariah is saying, I did what Hashem told me to do. Rashi disagrees. There is no market. There are no sheep. This is nothing more than just a sermon. This is a sermon, like Rabbi Maievsky would give a sermon in a shul on Shabbos. You get up, and you give fire and brimstone. You let them have it. You let them have it. And that's what he's saying over here. Kol Eile Divrei HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaNavi. And then he writes over here something very bizarre. You ever see Rashi say something like this? Va'ani ro'isi oisam bayomim va'ani ro'isi oisam. Now I'm assuming over here this means I Hashem. I'm assuming this means I Hashem ro'isi oisam shepherd them. I shepherd them bayomim hakad mayim. Hashem is now relating that I myself was their shepherd. Mizmor l'David, Hashem royi lo yechsar. Binoy stesha yarbi tzeini. Almei menuchos yenahaleini. You ever go to Shalosh Shuras? Hashem is saying, now the problem with that is the grammar is not correct. But listen, the Ribbono Shel Olam, he didn't go to grammar school. He breaks the rules all the time. More often than not. What do you want from us? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he breaks the rules all the time. So what do you want from us? So the problem with Rashi is Vo'ereh Esoin, which I shepherd the sheep. It just doesn't flow well. Okay, what can I tell you? It doesn't flow well. The Metzudas David, it's a much simpler approach. Zechariah is responding. According to Rashi, Hashem is reflecting. First, Hashem says, I want you to give over prophecy regarding the future leaders. But you know they're not as good as me. In the good old days, back in the day, I was the shepherd. Now, you know, they replaced me with all of these rookies, these newbies. They don't know what they're doing, these guys. They have no clue what they're doing. Let me tell you how it was back in the day when I did the job. I knew what I was doing. I had two sticks. One was called Noyam. One was Chovlim. I knew how to do the job. These guys today, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know. No clue. They're rookies. Newbies. Freshies. They're pathetic. This new cast of characters that are leading the Jewish people. That's what Rashi's saying. Va'ani, I shepherd them back in the day. Bayam hakad moinim. Lochein, therefore, aniye atzoin emes. Now he has a new translation for the word aniye. Lashon of emes. Emes, aniye hatz, for the word lochein. Lochein, he's translating here the word lochein as emes, truthfully. The truth is, you know, back in the day, they were pathetic, like they are today. Today, Today they're also pathetic. But back, nothing changed. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Back in the day, the Jewish people were also in the category of the Aniyat Son. That's the truth. And what did I do? Hashem says, next Rashi, back in the day, Vo'ekach. Now here's why the grammar, Vo'ekach, let's see the Rashi. Vo'ekach li shnei makleis, l'soif yamim chilaktim l'shtei mamlochois ba'avoinam. This is why the grammar is not so great according to Rashi. Rashi is giving Hashem a very low grade for diktuk. Because the word vo'ekach means, maybe I should take that back. It just doesn't flow well. It's not a matter of the grammar.
Rashi is a partner. Jonathan says the same thing.
Okay, fine. Right, of course not. You're going to find a whole team. Everyone has a team. There are always teams. When you learn psukim, you're always going to link up. You're going to link up a whole cluster of mafarshim that are going to team up against each other. So, referring back to the past, that back in the olden days, I was their shepherd. And unfortunately, they were not a good flock. They were troublemakers. So what did I do? I had to divide the class into two groups. Kita Aleph, Kita Beis. Okay, they have a Shir Aleph, Shir Beis. In certain yeshivas, they divide the students into different groups. The group that is more advanced and the group that's less advanced. Or really, it's not about being advanced. The troublemakers, the boys who need more attention versus the boys that are very good, they listen. Boys that are very good doesn't mean they're better, it just means they're easier to handle. Okay, they're easier to control. All the other boys, some of them are very good, they're brilliant. They just have too much energy, and the Rebbe is not skilled to control them. So they put them in a different class. Hashem says, that's exactly what I did. I took the Jewish people and I divided them into two groups, the Malchus of Yisrael and the Malchus of Yehuda. The Malchus of Yehuda is called Noyam, and the Malchus of Yisrael is called the Chovlim. Chovlim. Incredible how we learn from this pasuk Rashi. Two different kingdoms. La'achad karasi Noyam. Yeravam Omar. No, I made a mistake. But just the opposite. Yeah. I made a mistake. Pumfakert. Just the opposite. Who would even know? La'achad karasi Noyam. Yeravam Omar le'nahalom la'at. La'achad karasi Chovlim. Rechavam Omar lohem liyashem be'ak rabim. With scorpions. I mean, we'll see. Mon lefish derech tzoyin lehanholan b'makles. Kora le'meshleim makles. What was the fight? Why was there a split? Taxes. What happened after Shlomo Melech passed away? The Malchus went down to his oldest son, Rechavam. And Rechavam wanted to show who is the boss. So he said, I'm going to raise the taxes. That's basically it. I'm going to raise taxes. And in fact, he called in his advisors. He called in his cabinet. And the cabinet said to him, they told him, I already forgot the whole story. They told him that you should, that...
The older people said to him,
go easy on them. Lower the taxes. Lower the taxes. And the younger, the new generation, they said, show them who the boss is. Squeeze their necks. Go and go tighten the noose around them. You showed them your father died. Your father was tough. You showed you're even tougher. And this was bad advice. And Rechava made a fatal mistake. He listened to the young people. He listened to the immature, the inexperienced advisors, and he increased taxes. He raised taxes
and the hardliners,
and he ruled with an iron fist, and that was already over too much. And that inspired, that triggered Yeravam ben Nevat to rebel, to take 10 Shvatim and split off from the Malchus to succeed from the nation, to make their own Malchus, the Malchus of Yisrael. And that originally, when it first started, he was sanctioned. Achia HaShiloini gave him permission. There was a legitimate complaint against Rechavim, against even Shlomo HaMelech, there was a legitimate complaint, and originally it was sanctioned. And however, if you study the Mefarshim, it was only sanctioned for a short period of time. Only I'll deny that temporarily you can succeed, but you have to have the long-term plan of returning when things get better. But power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yep.
And what happened? He enjoyed his power, and then he turned sour, and he did not want the nation to return back to its original state, which was the goal. And because then he would lose his authority. Look what happened with Netanyahu and Bennett. It was a disaster from day one. Anyone can tell Netanyahu is going to let someone else be the prime minister over his dead body. Come on. Who didn't see that coming? So you're going to let someone... It didn't work. So what happened? Yerubbaal Nevat, he did the unthinkable. He appointed sentries to prevent people from being oil regel to go to Yerushalayim and to see the king of the sea, Rechavam, in his full glory in the Beis HaMikdash. And then the people needed an outlet to serve Hashem, so he created the Egel Hazav all over again. Two shots. Chazores HaShatz. Two shots. One in, done in Be'er Sheva, Avodah Zarah Mamish. One thing led to another. He took them down a path that was a Chorban. How did this all start? There's a disagreement. Should we go easy on the people or should we go hard? After the death of Shlomo HaMelech, should the Hanhaga be Noam or should the Hanhaga be Chovlim? The young advisors advise Rechavam, Chovlim, take out a stick and beat them over their head. The Zakenim said, now's not the time. Now is a time of Noyam. And that's what the Pasuk says. With scorpions, someone that doesn't behave, you take him, you tie him up to a pole, and you put him in a room with scorpions and see what happens. See if the scorpions... Akrabim, an akrov is a scorpion.
Whip
no?
them with scorpions.
With scorpions. This is in the translation to whip them with scorpions.
Yeah. Flog, he says.
But flog them, okay. Flog, maybe that means the skin. Maybe it means a certain type of leather. It's a very painful. It's a certain type of leather that has thorns in it, whatever.
Ulufish derech tzayin lahanalam b'maklis karol l'mashleim maklis. We don't have to take this literally, obviously. Okay.
I thought what it meant was, a scorpion is only going to bite you if you twitch. It's, can you imagine the torture to put a person in a room and lock him up in a room with a scorpion? So you know what that means? You're not allowed to move. You're not allowed to twitch. You know how hard that is? That's torture. To sit there for a prolonged period of time and don't move. Try that for 3 minutes. See if you can survive sitting still and not moving for 3 minutes. It's impossible. Could you imagine a person sitting in a room like that for 10 hours? Because if you twitch, you're going to irritate the scorpion and it's going to bite you. And then if it bites, it's over. The person's dead. It's incredible torture. Someone told me, I have a friend who was a child, he was abused. How was he abused? Incredible. He told me an incredible insight into abuse. The babysitter, he had an abusive nanny. A nanny. Abusive. She would make him stand by the wall or kneel on his knees near a wall and raise his hands like this, high up, but not touch the wall. And he had to do that for a prolonged period of time. Just to stand there, hold your hands up like this, while you're in a kneeling position. And he says to me, you try it. It's torture. It's real torture. And he said to me, he now fully understands what it means in Parshas B'Shalach, V'chasher yorim Moshe yodoy v'govar Yisrael, V'chasher yoniach yodoy v'govar Amalek. What's it all about? So Rashi tells us the Poshep Shat, that when Moshe raised his hands, the Jewish people, they looked at Moshe, they looked at his hands were raised, inspired them because they looked up. It was an arrow. Look to Hashem for your support. And when they saw Moshe inspiring them to put their faith in Hashem, they prevailed. But when Moshe put down his hands, they didn't look to Hashem for support, so they failed. So that's the Pasha Pshat, of course. But he said to me, I have experience. I was abused. This nanny made us do this a lot, just to torture us. And you don't understand how painful it is. It's self-affliction. What are you going to do to yourself to afflict yourself? You're going to fast? Okay. This is an acute form of self-affliction. Moshe Rabbeinu was mishtatef b'tza'aron shel Yisrael. For whatever reason, Moshe was unable to go out and fight the battle. It wasn't whatever the reason was. Why did Moshe himself go out and fight the battle? Why did he go out to the battlefield and fight with the people? Whatever the reason was. So Moshe was not able to go out and fight. But Moshe didn't just sit home and surf the web and have a nice dinner when his men are out in the field giving up their lives for Klal Yisrael. Moshe stayed home and Moshe afflicted himself in order to be mishtatef in the pain of Klal Yisrael. And how do you self-afflict yourself? Try it. Try to raise your hands for a prolonged period of time. It's torture. It seems that this is a known concept. And that's why this nanny, who obviously had some serious psychological problems, enjoyed having the people that she cared for engage in this torture just to satisfy her crazy pleasure. But he told me it gives him now a whole new appreciation of what it means to be mishtatef. Someone that you know at this moment is in pain, in danger. You don't sit back at home and have apple pie and cranberry sauce with your turkey. You should, if they are in a matzav of sakon at this moment, you should feel their pain, be with them. Say Tehillim, feel their pain. And this is a technique of feeling someone else's pain. That's how he, from his personal experience, that's how he feels what this pasuk means. It gives him a whole new insight into the pasuk. Now here as well, here in our example, we have over here, okay, we got in that a little bit off the track a little bit, but over here, going back to our topic, it's incredible what we've learned so far. Rashi over here has an entirely different approach to this very bizarre series of these psukim. And again, it's all, we said this yesterday, everything here goes back to the very first Rashi in Sefer Zechariah, that the nevuos of Sefer Zechariah are sosum, are extremely cryptic. And it's impossible to really have a clear understanding of what Zechariah is trying to say, much, much more so than any other Sefer in Tanakh. And that's because it's so difficult, that's why we find over here so many different opinions. The Mefarshim go off on their own way, trying to decipher, giving insight into what these psukim mean. And here you see an incredibly different interpretation of these psukim from Rashi, versed in Mitzvot David, what it means, Soina Harega, what is the next pasuk describing of the absence of guilt, and what does it mean here, the two staffs, Noyam and Choyvlim? Does it refer to, as Mitzvot David said, Zechariah looking at the time of the Chashmonoyim, and that's why they're called Noyam, and we gave this drush, V'hi Noyam, Hashem Elokeinu b'Chanukah, and Rashi says something entirely different. Rashi learns that over here, Hashem is telling Zechariah, I'm not asking you to go to the market. You don't even have to go to Amazon. I just want you to get up and give a drasha. And I want you to tell Klal Yisrael, I want you to tell them that their leaders have failed them. Their leaders have sold them down the river, have committed horrible crimes. They were thoroughly corrupt. And that's why you found yourself in Golos, in exile, and you found yourself suffering, and your tormentors are not accountable. They got away with the worst possible crimes. And let me give you a little history lesson. Back in the day when I was your shepherd, when you did not have so many leaders and you looked to me for leadership, I knew how to deal with you. And it came a point in time where we had no choice but to divide you into two groups. Malchus Yehuda, Malchus Yisrael. And the way we did that, and it all started, the coin to Rashi, you really need to go further. We have to go into all the Pesukim. According to the Mitzudos, we're at a nice break point. But according to Rashi, the story is first beginning. And we'll come to it. But at this point, at least, Hashem is telling us the break in the division in Klal Yisrael, how it started. It started over a fight. Should the leader take on an approach of Noam, or should your leader have an approach of Chovlim? What should be the approach? And obviously, everything depends on the time. It depends. Everything depends. You know, we all know that in our own lives, we've all been we've been controlled by different people in different points in our life, in elementary school by our parents, in high school, and there are different types of leaders. Some leaders give you are more independence, and some people enjoy controlling you. They thrive on controlling you. You see that now with this whole matzav, with the mask, Corona. There are certain people that, you know, they believe in the science, and they make the rules, and if it's their bias, if it's their facility, you have to follow the rules that they lay out. And if some of them are very sincere, and it's for your best interest. And then I'm sure you've seen there are certain people that they don't really care about the rules. It's not nice to say they don't really care about the science. How you know? Because watch them. Watch what they do in their personal lives. They don't protect themselves. They act in a very irresponsible way in their private lives and their own family members. But when you come into their domain, it's about controlling you. There's a people they thrive. There's a pleasure in controlling you. And the sickness, it really is, to manipulate and control the people, and to abuse, take advantage. Some people, they're not. They're good people. They really mean for your benefit. And here we have different types of leaders, the Chovlim and the Noyam. And that's the challenge. Where do you draw the balance? Let's take a look over here at the Radak. We have over here a few minutes. The Radak. Let's go back to the Radak and see how the Radak learns this pasuk. Pasuk, Dalet. Koi Amar Hashem Elokoi. Re'ei Esoin Harega. Parosho Zo. Roiv Hamafarshim. Pershua Lisha Avar. Most of the commentators understand this in the past tense. In the past. What do you mean? Amar Lanovi. Hashem is speaking to Zechariah. She Yisnabe Al Inyan Yisrael Ma Yiye Ad Giloisan. Now, what he means over here, the past tense, he means the era of the Bayis Sheni. So far, according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, we have not mentioned the word Moshiach. Okay, we're not discussing Yemos HaMoshiach. We are discussing the era of the Bayis Sheni, or before that, the past. And Hashem is telling, and it's the past from our perspective. It's the future from the perspective of Zechariah. Okay, from our perspective, when I say we'll talk about when the Radak mentions the past, he means the past from us today reading this relative to the past, meaning not Yemos HaMashiach, but from the perspective of Zechariah, who's speaking at the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, he's discussing what's going to happen during the time of the Bayis Sheni. Omar Lanovi, Sheyisnabi al Inyan Yisrael, Ma'ye Ad Giloisam, what's going to happen until the time they go into Golos to the Bayis Sheni. The Yesh Befarshim Oisa Bebayis Shenis. Now, what era is that? The Bayis Sheni. Ukira'ah, that's all part of the past, the Bayis Sheni. Ukira'ah Tsoy Naharega. And what does this term mean? So we already saw for two Perushim. Now let's see what he says. He says, Ki Nisunim Heim Lehareg Biyad Soynehem Tamid Kisha Oivrim Al Mitzvah Sokel Yisborach. A third Perush. Not like Rashi that said that they are the victims of a crime. Is that what it means? Not like the Mitzudas that says we are describing Klal Yisrael at their low point, where they are creatures who are not producing, and there's no benefit from them. And you have sheep that is too old to produce lodos, does not produce wool. They are sent to the slaughter. A third pshat. They are a nation that is vulnerable. They're vulnerable. One more time, those words. Ki nisunim hem lehareg biyad soinehem tamid ki she'ovrim al mitzvah sakel yisparach. That's all it means. Tsoin harega is a state of being. We live in we have an existential threat. We are in a state of existential danger. Our very existence is in danger. Why? Being that we are the Am HaNifchar, and we have a duty to obey the Tayag Mitzvahs, and Hashem has made with us a covenant, and if we fail Him, He will destroy us. That's the deal. Hashem has given us enormous blessing, He's given us the Torah, but it comes with a price. The price is, you do your part, I'll do my part. If we do not do our part, then we live in a high, we have a high risk life. They don't have it, there's no risk because they have not, Hashem didn't give anything special. So whatever they do, nothing's going to happen to them, more or less. But we live in a state of danger constantly. That's whole nupshat. Uperesh Adoni Avi Zichron Levracha, Re'e Makar Kamo Lirois. The word Re'e, Makar, it is a noun. Okay, it's a Kamo, not a noun, it's an, really, it's like a, it's a verb. What does makar mean? Makar means, what is it? Does the word the makar?
Means the root of a verb.
Root of a verb, okay. Makar, root of a verb. Kamo liros, to pasture. Liros, v'chein l'man heye lo barok. We have the other word barok, the same grammatical form. I'm not sure what he means by that. Let's go further. Kamo lios, lios. Kiloimar, hu omar lirois, kiloi omar l'navi sheyirm hu. Elo kel omar liroisam, Hashem said that they should be, that they should have. It was, I'm not giving you an order. See, the Radak over here is coming to reject the idea that was presented by the Mitzudais. The Mitzudais appears to learn that Hashem is giving Zechariah a direct order. You, Zechariah, go to the market, purchase sheep. No. I'm not telling you to do anything. I'm telling you something theoretical. I'm telling you that it should be that the Jewish people have leaders. It should, there should be such a thing. One more time. Uperish Adoni Avizal Re'e Mokar Kamo Lirois V'chein L'man Heye Lo Barak. That she should have Kamo Lihiyois Kaloimar Hu Omar Lirois. Hashem said that such a thing should be. But not that you have to get involved. Hashem said that this is what should be. It should be such a reality where Klal Yisrael has leaders. How do we know that's a shot? Because the Radak's father is tying the opening pasuk to the last pasuk that we learned, the last pasuk that we learned is Vo'ere, which means, and indeed it happened. In other words, what he's saying here very much follows with, it's similar to Rashi, not exactly like Rashi, but it's similar to Rashi in that we're connecting the beginning with the end of this section. Hashem is saying such a thing should be, and then at the end, indeed, it is implemented what Hashem wants. Similar to Maaseh Bereishis. Vayoymer Elokim Yehi Ar. Vayehi Ar. And it was Ar. Hashem said, Re'eh Esoyin HaRega. It should be that the sheep that are delicate and vulnerable should have a leader. And Vayehi Ar. Indeed, in Pasuk Zayin, it says, Vo'ere Esoyin HaRega. It happened. Indeed, I went and I took care of the problem. When it says Vayihi Ar, who brought about Vayihi Ar? Hashem brought about the Vayihi Ar. But yet it's expressed in two parts. Hashem, indeed, he followed through. Now, where then is the difference between the parish of Radak's father and Rashi? Rashi says, Re'eyas Soin HaRega, I'm commanding you, Zechariah, to give over prophecy regarding the leaders of the Jewish people. So, to a degree, Rashi is siding with the Mitzudais, where there is a direct order. being given. According to Rashi, Hashem is giving Zechariah orders. Zechariah, open up your mouth. Let the words flow. I want you to deliver a prophecy regarding the leaders of the Jewish people. And he continues, according to Radak's father, that's not what it's saying. I'm not commanding you. This is the prophecy. Hashem is poetic. Hashem is expressing there should be such a thing that the Jewish people have leaders, and indeed, at the end, Hashem implements his desire, his will, his plan. Okay, so we have over here already three perushim so far. Pasuk A. Let's do one more pasuk. Until pasuk Vav. And Hashem says, "Asher konem yahargun, yahargu aysam." Vineihem biyad meicher v'koine b'li chemla. The people who purchase them, when they misbehave, will murder them. And the seller can sell them to whoever he wants, and the seller has no compassion. V'lo yeshamu einam choshrim atzvam ashemim im yahargu aysam. The seller, the owner, does not consider himself guilty if he executes the sheep. Baruch Hashem, I'm a rich man. I sold a Jew today. It reminds us of the kina, of the captors, of the son and the daughter of Rabbi Yossi Kohen Gadol, who were so happy. We're going to become rich. We're gonna marry off this boy and this girl, and they'll produce vlados.
Breed them,
and we'll become rich. And they did this in the name of God, in the name of God. Yoimar Baruch Hashem ki ani Hashem midmei eile hashvuyim uva amar harasha hamoicha Baruch Hashem zeh b'chashvei ki ritzoyin akel yisparach ma'ase zeh. That's how, this is like a liberal. This is a typical liberal. They're so corrupt to believe this is the right thing. Reality. You redefine reality. That's what it is. Baruch Hashem, you commit the most heinous crime. This is the Ritzoyin Hashem. It's a sickness to redefine reality. Kemosh Amar Sancheriv. Hani bal adei Hashem alisi al haaretz hazos lashchisa. Is it not God's will that I should destroy this land? Hashem wants me to destroy this land. Therefore, I'm doing the right thing. Oy noymar ki regilus bnei adam bezel lo se shavach lo kel yisparach b'chol revach she yarvichu hei midrach ha-tzedek, hei midrach ha-resha chinyin shezeh omer b'seinu zal ganova apum machtarto rachmonu kore. When the bank robber, right before he goes in to pull off grand larceny, nu lesfer zog mizmor tehillim. When I was on Mayor Appeldorf's team, you know, we used to go in the van right before we would go and break in the Federal Reserve and walk away with billions of dollars. Mayor would say, before we go in, Mayor, you're listening? Mayor would say, "Nu, first let's say a Mizmar Tehillim." That's what it says in the Gemara. Right before they break in to the bank, they say, "Hashem, help me. This is human nature. The human condition, but it's the most corrupt form of the human condition." Va'ashir, now we have over here this very bizarre word, va'ashir, ha'alef, nocha, v'havav, pesucha, the aleph is silent, there's no vowel in the aleph, and the vav, va'ashir, what do you have a word like this? The vav has a patach, and the aleph is silent, b'shval levadai, it's a very bizarre word. In the study of bizarre words, this word certainly is going to be, give a shear in all the strange words in Tanakh. This word certainly deserves a shear, vashir, a very difficult word. I will become rich. V'royehem yilo yachmol aleihem v'akel shehu royehem. And here the Radak says, Hashem, who is their true shepherd, will not show them mercy. Einoy choymel aleihem lipo l'fich l'ifrahim noyefim b'yareveim b'moichim b'koinim av'amar royehem l'shon rabim. Question, how can you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called their shepherd l'shon rabim? Hashma Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. How can the Radak say that the word of Royehem refers to Hashem? Hashem is only one. Here it's Bloshen Rabim. Apikursis. It's only one God. So he comes, V'yamarim lo shram k'mo shama yismach yishol be'oisov ayei eloika oisoi. What's the answer? Be'oisov, be'oisov lo shram rabim. In the one who make, oisov means, does it be'osei who? Be'oisov in the makers. And ayei eloka oisoi, also the word oisoi means, the yud at the end connotes a rabim. Which basically means that sometimes, this is a matter of grammar, in order to strengthen the power of Hashem, Hashem is written b'lashon rabim. And the classic example is Elohim. Elohim is b'lashon rabim. Why don't, it's the same exact question. I don't know why you didn't bring a right from that. That's the most basic answer to this question, that we don't say Hashem, we say many often Hashem Elohim. Why don't we say Hashem Elokai? Elokai, Nishama, Shnasata B. Elohim is B'loshan Rabim, but there is only one God. The answer is sometimes we refer to Hashem as a Rabim in order to, as a technique of emphasizing his totality, his full dominance, his omnipotence, and his full control of this world. It's a form of language to refer to a yachid b'loshon rabim, to express the idea that he is in full control of every single thing that exists in this world.
Why sometimes rabim and sometimes...
Okay, so it's a good question. I guess it depends on the context. Sometimes we want to emphasize a personal element, a personal hashkocha pratis, but sometimes we want to emphasize the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's the shoylet al hakol, and that's why Elohim is b'loshon rabim. There is the yud mem at the end of Hashem's name, the beginning, and b'loshon rabim. Here he gives other examples, and here as well, it's a chiddush. He's calling Hashem over shepherds. You don't have often, because the other commentators did not want to do that. Other commentators that we learned so far, they learned that the shepherds go back on the leaders of the Jewish people, or refers to the malchei umayis ha'olam, who couldn't care less about us, and they'll do with us whatever they want. But he learns, no, referring to Hashem and writing Blasham. Okay, we have to be able to pass the Vav, and the Radak, and Hashem will think tomorrow, we'll take a short break. And afterwards, I want to go discuss some things about Pesach, different topics. We'll see what we'll see how far we get. We'll learn a little bit about B'dikas Chametz, a little bit about the Seder, and some other ideas. We'll be back in a few moments. Mordechai, I don't have any cups. I just keep forgetting. I have a very poor memory. Like a cat.
Tomorrow, it's Hashem.
Rabbi Levine.
Yes.
I said hello to Rabbi Reisman for you yesterday.
Are we Shaul Reisman?
Yeah.
My Rebbe, yeah.
Yeah, he said he was your Rebbe.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He still is my Rebbe.
It's honorable mention sometimes.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you very, very much. He still is my Rebbe. He's such a good person.
He came to a wedding of the Daniel Tenenbaum. 42, married a 36-year-old. First time.
Very nice.
Mazel tov. Where was it? So that was in Lakewood?
No. Last night was Brooklyn, the Lebanese synagogue.
Oh, on 15th Street?
No, on T... 805 Avenue T, the corner of
Seventh
and T, East Eighth and T, somewhere. It was very nice, very nice.
Yeah, I was there when it first opened.
Well, you have regards from a lot of people.
There
were a number of Sims people.